Father, we just thank you for this time this morning. We just thank you, Father, what you're doing this whole time that we're in the building, not only in this room, but in the sanctuary and downstairs. We thank you for your revealing. We thank you, Father, for the enlightenment and illumination you bring to all of us today. And we thank you, Father, for your mighty word. We thank you for the workings of the Holy Ghost. And we thank you, Father, for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I'm going to read some more of John G. Lake. And the whole purpose of this is to help us ascend in our souls. And of course, Pastor Mary and Pastor Dwayne is really, by bringing the word, is that ascending? What, Leanne?
That's amazing.
Okay.
No. It's just that last night, when reading Robin's newsletter,
yeah.
The very end, he said, we must ascend. And go forward.
We must ascend and go forward, yeah, Robin. Well, we can't go forward unless we ascend. Now I want to read something out of a different chapter of John G. Lake here. He said, in one of those class meetings one day, as I sat listening to the testimonies, I observed that there was a kind of weakening trend. People were saying, I'm having such a hard time. I'm feeling the temptations of the world so much, etc. I was not able at the time to tell people what was the difficulty. I was only a young Christian. But when they got through, I observed the old class leader, a gray-headed man. He said something like this, brethren, the reason we are feeling the temptation so much, the reason there's a lack of sense of victory, is because we're too far away from the Son of God. Our souls have descended. They're not in the high place where Christ is. Let our souls ascend, and when they ascend into the realm of the Christ, we will have a new note. It will be the note of victory. But isn't that the truth? Beloved, that's the difficulty of all of us. We've come down out of the heavenlies into the natural, and we're trying to live a heavenly life in the natural state, overburdened by the weights and cares of the flesh and life all about us. Bless God, there is deliverance. There is victory. There is a place in God where the flesh no longer becomes a bondage, whereby the grace of God, every sensuous state of human nature is brought into subjection to the living God, where Christ reigns in and glorifies the very activities of a man's nature, making him sweet and pure and clean and good and true. Bless his holy name. And I call you today, beloved, by the grace of God, to that high life, to that holy walk, to that heavenly atmosphere, to that life in God where the grace and spirit and power of God permeates your whole being. More where not only your whole being is in subjection, but it flows from your nature as a holy stream of heavenly life to bless other souls everywhere by the grace of God. Yes, I am. Let me say this before I read this again. It's very important that we have our minds renewed, continue the process in the Word of God. But it takes the power of the Holy Spirit for us to walk that out, to move that out. We can have a renewed mind, but without the power of the Spirit, we can't move in it, in a sense. So it's, you know, of course, the Word and the Spirit, but it takes the power of the Spirit with us knowing the Word for that to bring something about that makes sense.
Can I interrupt you?
Yes, you can.
You know, I've been meditating so much on Ephesians 6, and, you know, where it says, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might.
Yes.
And it talks about putting on the whole armor, which is, to me, is getting your mind renewed. But none of that does any good if you're not strong in the Lord and in the power of his might.
Yes.
That's that part about the Spirit.
Yes. Yes. I mean, I say it over myself a lot. Of course, it's not strong in myself. It's strong in the Lord and the power of his might, the strong in him. Hallelujah. So in one of these class meetings one day, as I sat listening to the testimonies, this is John G. Lake, I observed there was a kind of weakening trend. People were saying, I'm having such a hard time. I'm feeling the temptations of the world so much, etc. I was not able at the time to tell people what was the difficulty. I was only a young Christian. When we got through, I observed the old class leader, a gray-headed man. He said something like this: "Brethren, the reason we are feeling the temptation so much, the reason there's a lack of sense of victory, is because we're too far away from the Son of God. Our souls have descended. They're not in the high place where Christ is. Let our souls ascend. Let our souls ascend. Let our souls ascend. And when they ascend into the realm of the Christ, we will have a new note. It will be the note of victory." Well, Jesus is our victory, isn't he? He is our victor. In fact, Brother Hagin had a psalm about that, had an ode about that. The champion. The champion. But over that is the difficulty with us all. We've come down out of the heavenlies into the natural. And we're trying to live a heavenly life in the natural state. Isn't that the truth? If we don't watch ourselves. Overburdened by the weights and cares of the flesh and life all about us. I like this. Bless God, there is deliverance. There is victory. There is a place in God where the flesh no longer becomes a bondage, where by the grace of God, every sensuous state of the human nature is brought into subjection to the living God, where Christ reigns in and glorifies the very activities of a man's nature, making him sweet and pure and clean and good and true. That's his holy name. That definitely has to be God, doesn't it? We've all tried to make ourselves. How'd that go? Yeah. Hallelujah. I call you today, beloved, by the grace of God, to that high life, to that holy walk, to the heavenly atmosphere, to the life of God, where the grace and spirit and power of God permeate your whole being. More than not only your whole being is in subjection, but it flows from your nature as the holy stream of heavenly life to bless, I like this, to bless other souls, to bless other souls, to bless other souls everywhere by the grace of God. Hallelujah. Think about what else I'm going to read here. I'm going to read this other part, thinking about having a victory consciousness, about having a dominion consciousness that we have in Christ Jesus and the Holy Spirit. You know, He'll help us, elevate us in our thinking. Pardon? It's on page 387 in John G. Lake's.
Which one is that?
Yeah, the same. It's this book right here. His life, his sermons. I just put that on the page that way. Okay, typed it out. So now, beloved, I want to get, and see, John G. Lake was a real study of the soul realm. So he's coming from that arena. So, beloved, I want to give you something that's infinite value. Just to illustrate it, I was called to a home to see a man 82 or 83 years of age the day before yesterday. He has been sick for 2 years. He had blood poisoning in his teeth and went through his whole body. And when a man is past 80, it is bad, you know. I went into his presence. With a royal spirit, a conquering spirit. Now, I didn't think of this when I went there. When I went back today, I saw the effect. I was there with a triumphant, victorious spirit. His spirit caught the contagion from me. He was whipped. He sat there in that chair until he was whipped, just defeated. Well, I sat down by his side and began to open the scriptures. And something in me, this is perfectly scriptural, out from your inner life, that is your spirit, that is the inner being, shall flow rivers of living water. Out from my spirit went into his spirit, healing for his spirit. I didn't see it because he's a Scotchman. In other words, he didn't respond much. No expression. But I knew in me, I knew in me that had gone into him. I knew that. I talked to him a little while and opened the word and then prayed for him and left. This afternoon, his beautiful, lovely, motherly wife, a woman of long years, called me up and said, he wants to see you again. He is going to come down to the hotel to see you because he doesn't think it's right to ask you to come away up here. Think of that, will you? I said, no, I will go up. When I went into his presence this afternoon, I carried into his presence. I discovered it in myself immediately after I left the household. I had carried into his presence health in my own mind and my spirit. I had carried dominating, victorious spirit. And that man responded to it. Do you know what happened in his body? While I sat there and prayed for him, his spirit had become adjusted. The spirit in me received his help from the Lord, and I communicated something to his spirit, and his spirit made contact. I thought it was good. Then also, but also how he said he opened the word. He opened the word. He shared, and he prayed, but also he realized what he carried had an effect too. I mean, it was God. But in other words, he didn't go in there, I hope this works. He didn't go in there, I wonder. You know, 1 John 5:4 says this, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. 2 Corinthians 2:14 says this, now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. 1 Corinthians 15:57. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I know these scriptures are familiar, but it's good to, hallelujah. And, you know, many, many, many more scriptures, but hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. When I started this, the idea that, and of course, what was sharing, was that our souls would ascend. And of course, it takes the truth to do that, but also takes the working of the Holy Spirit. So if our souls ascend in truth and revelation, illumination, then we can make real progress. Hallelujah. So that's what this class is about, of course, what whoever's ministering in the sanctuary and so forth, is to help us to receive truth, and by the illumination and revelation of the Holy Spirit, to help us ascend in our thinking, coming up in our thinking, and then realizing the dependency upon the power and the person of the Holy Spirit. It all works together. You know, we need to know things and grow in knowledge. But it's never how much we know. It's always about how much God knows. And so God makes up the difference. What I mean by that is, God never says, I got to know everything. He just said, you and I got to walk in the light that we have And God said, I'll take care of the rest, so to speak. Yeah, just walk in what you know. I'll help with the rest. So that's so wonderful because we all have different light. We're all at different levels, so to speak, with God. But God's so gracious is that, hey, you can be effective as a new believer or as whoever we're at with our walk with God. And of course, the Holy Spirit is always endeavoring to reveal more to us. He's not hiding things. He's trying to get things over to us. I like what the book of Daniel says. When Daniel remembers in the great test, he said, but there is a God in heaven who reveals secrets. And there is a God in heaven who reveals secrets. Well, now we have the dispensation of the Holy Spirit, and God is trying to get secrets to us, so to speak. He's trying to bring mysteries, reveal the mysteries to us that the prophets of old desired to look into. And we're in that day where we have the revealing and illumination and the power of the Holy Spirit so we can just exist in these last days, so we can live in these last days and help people. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. As the coming of the Christ approaches, that coming which I believe a multitude of Christian hearts are looking for in these days, the flash and the flame and consciousness of the Master Son of God takes possession of their hearts and minds, and in the name of Jesus, men are rising up everywhere who refuse to be bound by sin and sickness and death. That's the reason that John saw in his vision the revelation, a day of triumph, when all that were in the earth and the sea and under the sea were in heaven, earth and hell united and sent forth a shout of triumph that will ring through the eternities, because the Christ of God had become acknowledged master, ruler, prince, and king of the race. Oh, bless God for the revelation of the living Christ and the souls of men that lifts the consciousness of men from the place of defeat into the place of power, the exalted, present, mighty power of the living God. Hallelujah. Leon, you have anything? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. This comes to me. We just listened to Reinhard Bonnke. Some of you know who Reinhard is. That tremendous evangelist, German evangelist of God. You know, one thing that's great about Reinhard is never about him. If you listen to him, it's always about God. But what I'm going to share this one part that he shared. He was, you know, who holds these crusades. And, of course, not everybody's happy with Bonnke. Nobody likes Bonnke. Especially the witch doctors don't like him. They say when Bonnke comes to town, our business goes down big time. Actually, it's a little different than that, but anyway. So he came to town, so these four witch doctors decided, we're going to deal with Bonnke. We're going to come to his meetings, and we're just going to, like Bonnke said, they're going to deal with hocus pocus. And so they said, four of them, they had their watches synchronized. They positioned themselves around the field, the four areas, and then they're going to, you know, to curse him, paralyze him. That's their plan. At a certain time, they're going to do it. So Reinhard, guess what? He said, well, the evangelist says, I'm going to bring the word. So when Reinhard goes up there, he normally says this, but probably does it most of the time. He just shouted, hallelujah. When he did, that broke the power of that stuff. And so then those witch doctors said, oh, Bonnke's too powerful. We're going to have to call up a heavier duty witch, so to speak. So they found a higher ranking, I guess, in the witch realm, whatever, over here. I think it was in America. And they said this, we'll pay for a first-class ticket for you. The Bonnke said that was a first-class mistake. And so they sent, and sure enough, the high witch shows up in the meeting now, you know, big open meeting. got two men on each side. Once again, Reinhard gets up and shouts, "Hallelujah!" And the soldier says, "I'm hell," he says, "Asthmatic. Give me a, I'm going to die. I can't breathe. I'm going to die." Of course, he knows nothing about this, goes down and starts praying for her among others. The reason he knows this, that one of those witch doctors came to him. I mean, just trembling, just shaking. Said, "Bonky, realize that your genius is stronger than Lucifer that I've served." So I'm getting at the devil. He's not a big deal. It's Jesus. Bonky's, he'd been over there with all that nonsense. And so it's not just somebody saying something. He's demonstrated the power of God. He's walked in things. But his whole thing is about the power of God, the power of the blood of Jesus, and so forth. And so, yeah, there are times to deal with the devil, but he's not the real issue. It's really our souls coming up, ascending with God. But I just wanted to make mention of that, you know, there's things go on in you know, the darkness, so to speak. But wait a minute. If I'm looking to Jesus, it'll take care of itself. If I just focus on Jesus and the strength that he has and the strength of who he is, hallelujah unto God, I have to be concerned about other things, if that makes sense. Do you have something, Hen?
Well, I think that's true, but I think there's a place where people have taught where, you know, they used to say something about he's brought to zero and knocked the rim off. Well, that's true if you're operating in Christ and in the authority of Christ, but I think we've been too flippant at times, too, where there's a place that... it's that revelation of the blood, and it is that place of learning authority. Because the reason why that happened with Bonky, though, was because he walks in that realm of such revelation of the blood and such power. And so I think it's important to not be say that frivolously.
Right.
You know, are you talking about the devil?
Yes.
Being a zero?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so in other words, it's a place that I think it's that, yes, it can be magnified too much, and the more you magnify it, then sometimes you can open up the door for that. But I think sometimes it's been taught too fervently. You know, and people don't, because if without the revelation, and we're continually growing in that. So I believe as you presented that there was truth, but I think there's a place here that we have to be really clear that you know, like, when Rachel Tiefenthaler would go around and teach on prayer, you know, when she would start teaching those other realms of prayer, she told Billy, she says, "I don't want to go unless people have a revelation of the blood." You know, so I think it's something we're not fearful of, but it's a place that's we're strong when we're in him. And so I think, you know, because you talk about, you know, because Reinhardt, different people too, they have people that pray, they have people that have walked in these realms of truth. But I think that any time, you know, it's said that the devil always wants to take away our commanding voice. And when Peter was walking on the water and that fear came in, then, you know, he did not have the authority to command that storm to be silent, to be still. And I think that the enemy, through fear, is always wanting to take away our commanding voice. But I think sometimes, too, we're trying to command things out of... let's have a scatter shot and hope something hits, you know. And so I believe it is a place of continually putting in truth, continually walking in the light, so that that more we have true revelation of this, then the greater accuracy there is.
Well, that's good. So that's good. Hallelujah.
You know, it says authority. It's that understanding of authority.
Yes, hallelujah.
It looked like sometime around the mid-80s, the pendulum kind of swung in an awkward direction. There was an emphasis about demons. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And in everything, people saw demons. In any corner, yeah, of any gathering, there were demons.
Yes.
So the emphasis, because it shifted to the powers of darkness, there was a de-emphasizing of the power of God. And that's where we as believers should really invest, you know, Like, that's what I'm getting from what you said, what Leanne said. We invest more in the knowledge of his power, of his name, of his blood, of the power of the Holy Ghost. We invest more in these things. And then in that state, in that way, we're able to put the enemy exactly where he belongs. It's just like knowing, like somebody goes to read about counterfeits. It doesn't help much. It's better to know the real. Yeah. And when you know the real, then you really have the perception of what is counterfeit. Something lights up very quickly. I mean, I think that's the same, that's the analogy I would give about investing in the knowledge of his power.
Yeah. Yes, that's good. That's good. Hallelujah. Very good, Bernard. No, it's not minimizing. It's just I was trying to get across is the focus. The focus is on God. The focus is on Jesus, what he has done. And like Leon was bringing out, we have to have illumination and revelation of that, of the power of the blood, power of the name, power of Jesus. He is our everything, but we have to have that illumination. That's part of that, having our souls ascending, is that getting these truths, is that we haven't heard some of this, but getting in, so to speak, deeper, our foundation. But if I keep my focus on the Lord, so to speak, and on the truths in that, so then when the enemy shows up, it's not ignoring that, but I have the understanding. And with the help of God to deal with that stuff.
That's probably why it says, you know, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Because when this first reading, and he's talking about, you know, the part with victory being lost, and we know that usually whenever that happens, it's because something in the natural that's so negative, or several things that are in the natural so negative, you know, and they're real, have gotten our attention, you know, and so. You know, that is having a voice to us. And so it's like this part he's talking about, that ascending of the soul. And that comes from having our eyes back on Jesus, our eyes back on the truth. And you can tell there's a lift. The minute you get your focus off of whatever these things you're dealing with, and you get your focus on him, it says, you know, look up. You know, your redemption draws nigh. It always says, look for your, you know, look for your help. And so I think the minute that we hook into that heavenly realm and into him, and that glorified one and his greatness, you can tell there's a lift. You can tell there's a change. Because he was talking about we cannot walk the heavenly life in the natural realm, because these answers, Jesus had traps set up for him all the time. So it wasn't that there wasn't a devil there trying to trap him. But God always gave him a higher thought. He gave him a higher answer. Bonnke will talk about many times being set up with traps and God and being made fun of or whatever. And God will give him this illustration that even seems so simple. But it's so heavenly and it's so full of God that it refutes the other. And so I think it's not ignoring this, but it's going to this other place. And that's where I think the part even of praise and worship and things are so amazing, and speaking of his greatness, because then, Lord, you have an answer to this. You know, I remember, you know, several years ago we heard someone say, get the care out of your prayers so the Holy Ghost can work there. And when we get to that part where there's so much coming, if we're not careful, we are coming in and looking at so naturally, and if the Lord's even trying to give us an answer or give us a strategy, you know, then it's hard. So there's this place about ascending, and it is amazing that when you can catch yourself, even when you know better, all of a sudden you can just feel like discouragement's trying to come. And that's where, you know, as Pastor Marion shared, you know, there's a part of the word, and there's a part of turning. You're turning your heart, you're turning your eyes, you're turning your focus. And like today, you just know God has something really important with Pastor Crowell, or Gary Crowell, being here today. And so sometimes you can even find that there'll be setups that will distract your mind. And pretty well, we know if there's something that's really distracting us, we can almost know God has something important. He has something important to speak to us. Yeah. He has something important he wants us to pray about, someone over here is in need and he's trying to get his voice to us. And so when we start to change that tuning in, then your whole identity then starts to realize of what God has for you. And there's a joy then that does start to rise up, because then you recognize all these natural thoughts or all this worry or anything, you know better, and you know it won't produce anything, but you have to break it. That's that ascending one. We heard that last night when Robin had that about ascending and going forward. I thought, some of us that grew up on the farm or whatever, I mean, you didn't let anything stop you. You finished the row, you got the last bean pole, whatever you did, you finished it, And when we were in Duluth, it was like, we will not quit. We planted seeds. We will not quit. And pretty soon you finally realize the Lord says, no, you don't have to quit. I'm just changing your assignment, And so it's not about the willpower, We were raised, that you're a German, and so you don't ever quit, You make it, and you're on your head, You do
it. You work till you drop. That's it. Yeah, work till you drop.
In your head, you do it, And so I think I feel sometimes in the spirit right now, the church, if we're not careful, the church is saying, we're not going to quit. We're not going under. But we're almost doing it gritting our teeth. And there's a peace to that. But there's a wonderful peace in his ascending where, hallelujah, he puts that song back in our heart. Hallelujah.
So we're going to pray. Hallelujah. And here's what, in this process, we're believing. What's being shared today is not just for today.
Yeah.
It's also for the days ahead. And so, thank God for Gary, whatever he's bringing, but it's God through him. It's the Holy Ghost through him, and God has a way of speaking to every individual.
Yes.
Every way. And so, in other words, this is not just a casual thing. I think we meet with heaven today. We meet with the King of Kings today. We meet with Jesus, and the Holy Ghost wants to speak some things. The Holy Ghost wants to show some things. The Holy Ghost wants to impart some things. He wants to demonstrate how he wants to do it. And so, I believe God's help, we're going to have fresh hunger, fresh thirsting for him. Let the King come in. Let the King come in. Let the King come in. It's not that he's not here, but it's nothing to let him come in, so to speak. You understand? And glory to God. So, and what God's so good about, he helps us get opened up. Our hearts open up. Our minds open up. So to speak, God can break in.